The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
Hi there. Welcome once again to our studio. My name's Mookie, or Mark. Either one will do. We are 88.5, the SoCal Sound. Listener-supported public radio here in Los Angeles and Orange County. Do your part and join us. If you're not a subscribing member yet, you could always sign up and support public media at thesocalsound.org. We got live music in our studio today, and we are joined by Matt Quinn from Mount Joy. Welcome to the stew.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate you guys.
My pleasure. You're going to be Matt Quinn because I know so many Matts, and I have to differentiate. You know what I mean? You're always going to be Matt Quinn in my eyes. Is that okay?
There's a Matt like over your shoulder, so yeah, I get that.
There literally is. Yeah. You know, there I'm surrounded by them. It was like the scene in Spaceballs. I'm surrounded by Matts, something like that. MountJoyBand.com is the website. The tour dates are up there. Your merch game is very, very strong. If people want to go buy the T-shirt or some previous records, it's all up on the website right now. It's been said that you guys have been a local band, but also a Philly band, and I have been so confused over these past several years. And I think the answer is you're kind of both.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think so Sam and myself started the band and we're both from the Philly area. Moved out to Los Angeles for me after college, and Sam was here separately. We got the band started here in LA.
Wait, so you moved out to Southern Cal
to
pursue music or other things?
Kind of like other things, really, honestly. But I was working actually in Woodland Hills right when I got here, just like an hourly wage data entry job for a company that kind of like brought in royalties for various streaming services and whatnot. And then went to law school. I was kind of doing a bunch of different stuff out here that wasn't music, but I had kind of tried to be a musician prior to coming out here. I went to school in Boston, Northeastern University, and studied music and music business, and was really sort of thinking that that was where my, I guess, hoping that's where I would end up. But it just hadn't quite worked out for me. I'd playing shows and writing songs for, you know, up until that point, and kind of felt like I needed to get a real job or something like that to pay the bills. And I had followed my girlfriend out here. She was from here. And that's what, I'd never been to California before, and it was kind of like, you know, I was like working at a restaurant in Boston. I was like, all right, what do I have to lose? There's restaurants in LA, you know, I could make it happen over there. So came here, we started the band. We were just kind of making music together after work kind of thing. And, you know, fast forward, we put together a band, you know, Astrovan was one of the songs that we worked on, and that did really well.
Right. And that must have been roughly 2016-ish.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That did really well. And we kind of had to start a band. So we pulled together some people that were here in LA. And in that way, we were really formed in LA. And a lot of the band still lives here. During the pandemic, I moved back. I got dumped by, but now happily married. It ended up working out okay.
Sure.
But got dumped, moved back to the East Coast, and I live in Philadelphia now. But
right.
Three members of the band live here. So
yeah. Awesome. So it's we consider you guys a local band more or less, you know. Yeah. So when you come out to SoCal, like you're staying in town for a few months now, I guess, you know, working on the new record, you know exactly the hot spots, exactly the hangouts.
Totally. Yeah, I lived here for 6 years. I love it here. It's you know, it's cool to leave here, I think, or leave any city in the way that I'm able to and spend time here and time away from here, because you miss the things that you love about Los Angeles, which goes beyond the weather. There's great food here. Obviously, just so many talented people, which is such a unique thing. And I mean, that energy, I feel like that's really what Astrovan is about and what sort of inspired this band, is being around people who believe in grandiose visions of what they can be. You know, I think that's like sort of a really specific energy to Los Angeles. Maybe there's some of that in Nashville or New York City or something, but yeah, you don't, like, there aren't many people in, you know, Philly or whatever who are like, you know, I'm gonna be a movie star. It's kind of like, Yeah.
Right.
Okay, bud. Yeah. You know, right. But here you have that. And that's it's a unique, really cool energy.
So the new song Highway Queen is available right now, and it's been called a fan favorite. I do want to ask you about that in just a little bit. But again, Astrovan came out in 2016. Our listeners may or probably familiar with songs like Silver Lining, Jenny Jenkins, My Vibe, and Lemon Tree. I know you have a bigger catalog of music, but those are the songs that we have featured on the air. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the brand new song Highway Queen, I had read that it was a fan favorite. Correct me if I'm wrong, the song sort of written on the road, played live, and now it's for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we toured a bunch last year, and that was one of the songs that just kind of popped up on the road, and we were able to, like you said, work on it and record it, actually. It's the first time ever doing that, where we recorded it on off days on tour, and some of it here in Los Angeles after playing the Greek Theater. Went and recorded some of it here, and it's cool to put a song together like that because, I mean, it's a little tongue-in-cheek that the song is also called Highway Queen, but we really did make it on the road, so.
Right, amazing. So we are going to get a sort of a stripped-down version of that song. You're also doing Astrovan for us, which is amazing. So I saw you, it must have been over 5 years ago. I remember my wife was pregnant, now I have a 5-year-old. So that Mount Joy show was at the Moroccan Lounge downtown Los Angeles, right?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that. It literally feels like it was just yesterday, but it was like over 5 years ago. So I'm kind of tripping out off of that, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I think, I feel like I blame partially the pandemic, and I'm curious what other artists feel about that, where it's like, it just kind of like, we all got older, but like music and so many things feel like it stopped. So yeah, it's crazy to think of like the version of Mount Joy that existed before the pandemic. And I remember that Moroccan show.
Yeah.
It's great venue, great sounding venue.
Yeah.
I remember being really nervous. That was like at that period in our career, I feel like, you know, you felt like you just had so much to prove. I feel like it's always a little nerve-wracking at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Even then, I feel like the crowd was lovely and you really had a captivated audience. There were some super fans out there that night, you know, over 5 years ago.
Yeah, we've always been really lucky. Like, you know, I remember very, very early on, like I have some specific memories. One was in Toronto, just because we're from the United States and small club, mm-hmm. and they're singing every song, and you're like, wow, like, it almost, you know, it's just been one of the things for us that is truly like the magic of what we've been able to do is just people connect with the lyrics and they sing, and that just makes it such a, you know, that shared energy between crowd and audience, and less the like, you know, we know it's gonna be a bad show when we go to a place and people kind of have like their arms crossed and they're like staring at us, because it's not really that kind of music. But yeah, getting to be, you know, grow with these crowds and have people singing along, it's pretty incredible.
I bet it's amazing. You mentioned the pandemic, so I got to mention this. I mean, you guys were pretty innovative during the pandemic. You're organizing some outdoor drive-in concerts. I think Chicago was the city that you did those in. Why Chicago?
You know, we did them in a couple different places. Chicago, I think, I think we just got a good, you know, we were willing to go wherever we could play. We really like made the decision that if there were shows that we felt like were safe, that we should play them. You know, we had just gotten to a point in our career where we felt like we were right there, and had maybe the most to lose from COVID, in the sense that, like, you know, if you have your opportunity in this business, it doesn't last for long, and we had to capture it. You know, we'd just gotten off this tour. We'd literally gotten kicked off of a Lumineers opening slot throughout the United States, and felt like we had really grown our audience doing that, and we were about to go on a big headlining tour of our own. Mm-hmm. And to have that get canceled, it felt truly like it, you know, and obviously the way COVID was, that it could be the end of our career, like that we may not come back from this with the momentum that we have now. And so we were desperate to play music live in a safe way, because I think for us, we have our recordings, but what we've been able to do live has also been just an enormous part of you know, what we do. So we just found these opportunities. In Chicago, it was, you know, somebody opened up a parking lot, put a stage in, and you could drive your car up. I mean, I'm sure people remember those types of things. And, you know, specifically that Chicago one, one thing I'll never forget is it was obviously such a bummer. Everyone's, like, playing games on Zoom with their friends and doing all that stuff. And after a while, you know, I remember those Zoom things started to become less and less organized, less people start dropping out. It was fun at first, and then, you know, once the pandemic started dragging on, it was just, there's something about driving into that Chicago show and seeing people out, yeah, and their windows were rolled down, and, you know, they're drinking a beer, and, like, you could just feel,
yeah,
the joy. Like, yeah, people, like, were so excited to just, yeah, sit in their car next to their friend and drink, yeah, a beer and listen to a song and sing. Like, to see that, and then once you started to see that, you realized that, like, oh, this is not only what we should be doing, but this is an enormous opportunity for us as a band to capitalize on, you know, what we do best, which is playing live music to people who are starved for events.
Yeah.
And frankly, in a music industry that had now shrunken to like 10 bands that were really out there doing it, like in our space anyway. Huh. You know, it's a very crowded industry, and that's awesome. There's lots of great music. But in that moment, a lot of people, you know, for whatever reason, sort of said, like, hey, I'll come back when all this is over and we can do regular type shows. But as we all remember, like, it didn't just end. It just kept going and going and going. So people eventually started doing what we were doing, but we just did it from the beginning. And I think that was, honestly, like, if I could point to one thing, you know, that really led to our rise, I think it was that we stuck with it through COVID.
Interesting. And you were saying one downside of COVID may have been that you kind of had to press the reset button when it came to the shows overseas.
Sure.
Right? And you've seen the venues get bigger and bigger when you're playing out in Europe and stuff like that. But you felt like there was definitely a big setback.
Yeah. I mean, so what I just described didn't happen in Europe, right? And it's almost like, you know, obviously it's a different market, it's a different thing. It's hard to make it one-to-one, but it is interesting to imagine, like, maybe that's what would have happened in the States if we didn't do what we did. But, you know, we've been fortunate, but it really set us back for however many years we couldn't go over there and play. And in the last, like, year and a half, we've started to have some momentum over there, which has been really cool to go over there and start playing some bigger shows. But still, I mean, you know, it's a much smaller operation over there. Hopefully growing, mm-hmm, seems to be growing. And like I said, we're playing some bigger shows over there, which is fun. But
yeah,
but yeah, I do think, you know, there's a big gap between what we do here in the States and what we do over there. And I think COVID has a lot to do with that.
Right. Again, we're here with Matt from the band Mount Joy. MountJoyBand.com is, in fact, the website. So in Philly, you got the cuisine. You've got Philly cheesesteaks and stuff like that. What's your go-to here in Southern California?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know,
is it a good question?
It's a.
It just kind of came out of nowhere.
Well, you're asking a person who loves food,
uh-huh.
Truly love food. I think in LA, you know, it's sort of cliche. I'll give one cliche one, which is Sugarfish. I think they have, like, as a person who loves sushi, my wife lived in Japan for a period of time, and we love sushi like everyone else on the planet. It's amazing sushi. That I feel like for the quality of sushi, their price point is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we love to go to Sugarfish. I cannot lie. I also recently have been to a couple good restaurants. Hippo in Highland Park is, mm-hmm, delicious.
Awesome.
I'll give them a shout out. And yeah, other than that, my wife isn't. We love to cook. So
awesome.
Making lots of good meals here.
So I mentioned the Moroccan Lounge show several years ago, all of a sudden, which is crazy. And flash forward to today, you got a Hollywood Bowl show coming up in August. I'm seeing dates at Madison Square Garden. I'm seeing dates at Red Rocks and Fenway Park playing with Noah Kahan. Fenway Park, that's crazy.
Yeah.
The Hollywood Bowl, I mean, do you just pinch yourself sometimes thinking, like, how did we even get here? This is crazy.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. I mean, each time I'm always sort of thinking like, you know, like how are we going to do that or whatever. And, you know, so far we've pulled up to these venues and people have been there. So
yeah.
I don't know. You know, I just think we're just sort of a lesson in like just keep at it. And we just, if I could give us any compliment, it's I feel like we've just gotten and pushed the live show as hard as we can and just gotten to a place where we feel really confident that we're a great live band.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you catch a little bit of luck like we did, I think, during the pandemic and a lot of hard work. And it's super exciting. I just, now we're just like, all right, we gotta make some fun shows for a lot of people.
I can't believe it. And I would love to be there in August for the Hollywood Bowl. That sounds absolutely amazing. In your formative years, what sort of music was around you growing up? What music inspired you?
Yeah, my dad was a Deadhead.
I noticed the belt that you're rocking today.
Yeah, I pay homage. You know, one of those things, not just Grateful Dead, but he was a big, and I am too, a big Jerry Garcia fan. So we had different iterations of, you know, Jerry Garcia's career. And you know, like, Laurel Canyon folk music was, I mean, I remember my dad, he's been out here once, you know, when I lived out here and stuff, and he got a place up in Laurel Canyon, and like, I could just see the, you know, the sort of kid in him, like, enjoying the sort of history and, you know, all the great music that came out of that scene was definitely around me. I'm an enormous Joni Mitchell fan. But yeah, just like, something about that era, I think there was a, just so much thoughtful singer-songwriter music that felt like it was more about really being really intentional about writing stories, and even if it was a love song, like you felt like you. Well, I'm thinking about Joni Mitchell right now, where it's like A Case of You. It's like, I mean, like what a, you know, just incredible songwriting. Which I think, not that that's gotten lost, but I think that's something that like anchors me, is just trying to be like, is this a really good hook or is this a really good song? You know, and hopefully both, right? Like,
right.
And I think that's something that I definitely owe, I feel like, to those amazing artists that, you know, very successfully did both.
Mm-hmm. Highway Queen, again, is the brand new song, presumably part of a bigger album coming soon. And again, that's why you're in town right now. How's the recording going?
Oh, it's going really good.
Good.
You know, we're right in it. So about to go record tomorrow, doing a rehearsal tonight. And it's like, yeah, it's right in this moment. And it feels really good. I mean, I'm sure that's what every single band says, but I feel like we're at the peak of our powers right now. So I'm excited by it.
Nice. Sounds great. Have you linked up with somebody you've worked with in the past, a producer or anything?
Yeah. I mean, right now we're working with, at least for this next bunch of songs, we're working with Caleb Nelson, who produced the last record. He produced Astrovan. He produced some of the first couple songs for Mount Joy. He's a friend. And when I think about my LA experience of starting Mount Joy, it was really like in his North Hollywood house that his roommate was our bass player, Michael, and in his bedroom with my hood up, because I was allergic to his cat and sunglasses on. I'm like deathly allergic to cats. So I was like actively sneezing between takes. And
that's uncomfortable.
Yeah, but it's sort of like there's something there, you know, it forces you to be, I don't know, I'm going to make up something. It was terrible. But that part of it was terrible. But Caleb is genuinely so talented, and he, multi-instrumentalist, he tours as a guitar player for Sabrina Carpenter. So he just got off the Taylor Swift tour. He's made an amazing career for himself as a producer and multi-instrumentalist, and we just happened to run into him because he was roommates with our bassist. And you know, that's part of, I think, the luck coefficient, that it's like you meet the right people and you sort of attract great musicians, and we've been lucky to do that like over the years.
Amazing. Is there art, specific art associated with you know, the records you put out, or specifically Highway Queen?
Is there art that, sorry, can you run that back?
Like art that coincides with the music, whether that's album covers or visuals and music videos and stuff.
Specifically for Highway Queen, you mean?
Yes.
Honestly, for that particular record, it's about me meeting my wife, and it's a song about her, and she's from Brazil, traveled the world, and so kind of saw myself in her a lot. I feel like she's been on tour since she was like 15, she was doing modeling stuff in Asia and then New York City, and was so far from home, kind of on tour. Mm. And so I thought it would be cool to kind of just raid her camera roll and find pictures of her literally from her drive. You know, she grew up in a really small rural town in Brazil where the closest airport is like an 8 to 10 hour drive. And so she takes this drive. I've been there once, and you take this long drive through at times dirt road for a very long period of time.
Wow.
And I wanted it's beautiful countryside, but I wanted like some pictures out the window. And the picture that we ended up going with is literally her in the front seat driving away from home, you know, shooting the scenery that she sees when she leaves home. So sort of very on the nose, I guess, but but I just really like the idea of it being a sort of personal song that has the art is literally from that person's camera roll.
So. Yeah, I love that, man. It's so good. Maybe the last question here, what is the Astro Fam?
What is the Astro Fam? Well, that's a community that we created for our fans to, be able to come together and, I guess there's various pieces of content and things for people to dig in if they're big Mountjoy fans. I laugh because we've heard various iterations of like fan club names and always thought they were really funny. Mm-hmm. Astrofam is pretty good. It sounds pretty cool. We've had some ones that are like, and I don't want to offend anyone who is, if you've made a Mountjoy fan club, you rule in my book, but we've had funny ones that we've like internally created, like Joy Boys. So when I hear one, I just think of that, which is like, I think an inside band joke that like went too far. I don't know if that's an actual thing. I don't think that's an actual thing, but yeah.
That's incredible. Well, you know, I did not know what I was witnessing several years ago at the Moroccan Lounge. I could tell that there was definitely something going on. There was already a popularity sort of burbling up, you know. There was, again, already people in attendance at that small club. Who were really into the music, and now to think about Madison Square Garden and Hollywood Bowl, it's just crazy.
It's crazy for me, too, I'll tell you that. Maybe someday it won't be, but right now it's crazy. So I feel like maybe part of our job is to put the work in and make that feel less crazy.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you all so very much. It's a pleasure to meet you in person, and again, open door policy. Whenever you're in town, feel free to stop by if you'd like.
We'd love to.
Our doors are always open for you.
It's been awesome.
Anything else to touch on before we kind of wrap it up here?
No, man. I think I had a great time. I learned about the earthquake, which is probably a bummer way to end this interview, but I learned about the history a little bit, and it's my first time to Northridge, so.
Right, and I love it that you kind of have an affinity for radio. We were off the air. We were talking about your hometown, WXPN in Philly, and you know, like-minded radio stations like that. It's pretty cool.
It's true. I grew up listening to 88.5 on the other side of, when it's a W instead of a K in front of it, on the other side of the Mississippi, and. And yeah, that's something World Cafe, all that stuff. I know you guys air portion of World Cafe.
Sure, sure.
And I very much grew up on that radio station. And to this day, I listen to 88.5 XPN and now 88.5 KCSN. So
you ever thought about doing your own radio show somewhere?
I'm not, you guys are like so consistent minded, I feel like. Whereas like for me, there'd be this air where I would just be thinking of a thing to say, and I think it would destroy people's drives and really, really be bad.
No, you're good, man. This is a good interview. You're a good talker.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Maybe. Hey, maybe someday.
Yeah, maybe. Again, mountjoyband.com is the website. Matt Quinn in studio. Good luck to you and yours, and thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
where there's only a few pines left by the highway side, and they whistle as the wind rips straight through your pride. Baby, it's only your eyes and mine in this darkness that grows in time. Oh, 'cause you left home on that airplane running and never look back. But you can tell it's coming. My highway queen must be hiding something, and I want you to know I'm behind you. We can slow it down and let it find you, and I want you to know scared of your demons. That's just what makes you a real thing. Where the stars pulled up about a quarter to nine, and you were lying on my car. You were taking your time, baby. It's on your hands and mine. In this world you come so far to find. Oh, 'cause you left home on that airplane running and never look back. But you can tell it's coming. My highway queen must be hiding something, and I want you to know I'm behind. Slow it down and let it find you, and I want you to know, oh, nobody's leaving. No, I ain't scared of your demons. That's just what makes you. That's just what makes you. That's just what makes you a real thing. Woo! Oh, we both left home on that airplane running and never look back. But you can tell it's coming. My highway queen must be hiding something, and I want you to know I'm behind you. We can slow it down and let it find you, and I want you to know I ain't scared of your demons. That's just what makes you. That's just what makes you. That's just what makes you a real thing. Find me a lane to drive through in a Halloween costume. I'm an astronaut without you, and we're twisting our way to the back of the bar. You're locking the door, falling into the store, stripping you down to your jewelry. You're breaking the rules just for me. What a life under big stars and a good woman in charge. Got me falling in, got me falling in hard. So Come on, baby, let's do this right. I think I like falling in love in the bar bathroom light. I won't question it, I won't mess with it, I just go, go, grab it. Tell your friends, tell your mom that you love who they are. Cause someday we must return the movies in our brains and these moments we can't fake. Yes, the angels never leak the expiration date. So come on, baby, let's do this right. I think I like falling in love in the bar bathroom light. I won't question it, I won't mess with it. If it's there, go grab it. Tell your friends, tell your mom that you love who they are. Angels smoking cigarettes on rooftops in fishnets in the morning with the moon still glowing. And here comes Jesus in an Astro van rolling down the strip again. He stole while Jerry plays. He said life ain't ever what it seems. These dreams are more than paper things. And it's alright, mama, you're afraid I'll be poor along the way. But I don't wanna see those tears again. You know Jesus drives an Astro van. Yes, he does. I said, ooh. In my heart there's a Holy Ghost writhing on the floor from an overdose. You know the best one never come down. So if I love at the tip of my toes, reaching out for the great unknown. Every addict has illusions. That life ain't ever what it seems. These are more than paper things. And it's alright, mama, you're afraid I'll be poor along the way. But I don't wanna see those tears again. You know Jesus drives an Astro van. Yes, he does. I said, when I see those angels on the roof, I'll know I've made it. When my doobie smoking Jesus puts my name upon his guest list, it says, son, you're famous in heaven. Maybe you're famous in heaven. And maybe there is no heaven. And maybe we're all alone together now. And I don't wanna see those tears again. You know Jesus drives an Astro van. I don't wanna see those tears again. You know Jesus drives an Astro van.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Mookie. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.